following is a presentation of Crane's Chicago Business, delivered by your earbuds at WGN Radio.
This is Crane's Daily Gist. I'm Amy Guth. On the show today, a conversation with Crane's Chicago Business senior reporter Albie Galoon to talk about the School of the Art Institute and specific considerations for the current moment in retail real estate. Plus, an Urban Institute report says that Chicago neighborhood investment favors white communities. More on those later in the program. Your top stories today. The Trump administration was sued by a coalition of almost two dozen states and cities over a new federal rule that will allow businesses and individuals to refuse health care based on employees' religious or moral beliefs. The rule, set to take effect in July, would allow health care workers, including ambulance drivers, ER docs, receptionists, and customer service reps at insurance companies, to refuse care in violation of patients' constitutional rights, according to the complaint filed Tuesday in federal court in Manhattan. The plaintiffs, including the cities of New York and Chicago, say they risk losing billions of dollars in federal health care funding if states and municipalities fail to comply with the change. The Department of Health and Human Services has said the rule change is needed to protect the religious freedom of employees who may object to some healthcare procedures. Also, Canadian outdoor retailer Roots will open its doors to the public on Thursday, becoming the first storefront on the Mag Mile to open in 7 months. Kinda a rarity among retailers not selling food or coffee. The nearly 12,000 square foot store is set to be the Canadian outdoor retailer's largest and most innovative retail space to date, according to a press release. The two-floor store is at 605 North Michigan in the old Lakeshore Trust and Savings Bank building. Roots, established in 1973, is known for its sweats, leather accessories, and other clothing. The company's chief e-commerce and customer experience officer said that Chicago is one of the top three markets for its e-commerce operation. Coming up, a conversation with Crane's Chicago Business senior reporter Albie Galoon about specific considerations for the current moment in retail real estate in Chicago. That conversation after a quick word from our sponsor. A Chicago-based institution, Wintrust Commercial Banking, provides area businesses with local decision-making and a personalized focus. With specialty services for specific industries and tools like treasury management, commercial lending, and wealth services, the dedicated team will support you and your business through every need. Wintrust Commercial Banking was built here in Chicago to serve Chicago businesses. Learn more about how they can help you achieve your business goals at Wintrust.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. We're joined now by Crane's Chicago Business senior reporter Albie Galoon to talk about a change that is coming for the storefronts at the School of the Art Institute in the Loop. Welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you, Amy.
So talk us through this. What's happening? It seems like the School of the Art Institute might be getting into the real estate game a bit.
Well, they've been in the real estate game for a while, and they own these three buildings in the Loop, two on State Street and one on Michigan Avenue, where they have student housing and offices. And what they've decided to do is sell the retail space in those buildings. They're not in the business of being a landlord, so they see this as an opportunity to cash out and take the proceeds and put them into their endowment. And so this is a good time to be selling real estate. We're later innings of a prolonged real estate boom, and so prices are very high, and so a lot of people are taking advantage of that right now.
And so they've hired CBRE. They're looking to sell, I believe in the story you note, a little over 56,000 square feet of retail. That's a pretty good swath of land there. And it's really interesting to look at the Loop and commercial real estate right now, and even areas just pushing beyond the Loop, because it seems so very, very specific, just block by block, where these little corridors kind of pop up and seem like they're getting hot.
Yeah, and 56,000 square feet is actually a lot of space when you're talking about retail. And their properties on State Street are in very prominent locations. One of them is just north of the Block 37 Mall. That's where they have an Old Navy store, at least with Old Navy. And AT&T is in that property as well. And then down the street is a space that's leased to Zumiez, which is a kind of skateboard apparel retailer. And that's right at State Madison, which is, you know, kind of like Main and Main in Chicago. That's the, you know, center of the city. And so these are very good locations on State Street. And as you mentioned, you know, the Loop is really become a much more vibrant place and popular place for real estate investors, really since the opening of Millennium Park in 2004. You know, since then, we have seen a lot of investment, a lot of development there. You know, many apartment buildings that have been built, hotels have opened, like the Chicago Athletic Association, the Virgin Hotel. And so, and then you, on top of that, you have the schools like the School of the Art Institute. And so there's a lot more kind of 24/7 action down there, and investors really want to have some exposure to that. So, you know, I think these will be, these two properties will, you know, get a lot of people's attention. The third property is actually at 116 South Michigan Avenue, which is right across from the Art Institute, I should say. So that's a very good location too, and it's only gotten better.
And, you know, I think there's an extra layer of risk when we think about commercial real estate that has retail attached to it, because then the leases are factored in. Because if there are leases coming to an end soon, you have to find a buyer who's interested in kind of this revamp of things and interested in also leasing them and doing all of that work too. And so where are the current tenants in these properties? Where do their leases stand?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And more broadly speaking, I mean, retail, while we've had this great real estate boom that has made a lot of investors a lot of money, retail is really the weakest sector. Even in the Loop and on State Street, you know, the vacancy rate on State Street is like 13.7%, and that's really high. So there is added risk. A lot of investors are kind of steering clear of retail because of the, you know, disruption really that's caused by online shopping, and retailers and landlords are trying to figure out what brick and mortar retailing is going to be like 10, 15, 20 years down the road. And then, you know, on top of that, you have expiring leases in some of these properties, and then, you know, you also have tenants locked into long-term leases. So those situations appeal to different investors. If you're an investor that's looking for more of a safe investment, you want to buy a property where you have a tenant that's locked into a long-term lease. You don't have to worry about the tenant moving out and losing the income. But there are also investors out there that like tenants that are moving out, because then they can maybe release the space, bring in a new tenant at a, you know, potentially higher rental rate. So, you know, it just kind of depends on what your risk appetite is as an investor.
You know, I think it's interesting, too. There's a story, a different story at Crane's Chicago Business Today about how Roots is opening, the retailer on Michigan Avenue, and that's one of the first stores that's opened for a while. And there's a detail in the story from someone in leadership at that company about how they felt like Chicago was a great market to open a store, especially one of that size, specifically because of e-commerce activity. And I thought that was such an interesting sign of the times, that that informing where to put a retail location.
Well, if you look at Michigan Avenue, that is a unique retail corridor because, you know, it's kind of like a big billboard for retailers. A lot of them look at places like Michigan Avenue differently because there's so much foot traffic there and there's so many tourists who are walking the streets that, you know, they're looking at it from a marketing benefit. They don't just look at it in terms of metrics like sales per square foot. So, you know, they want exposure. And so that's what they can get from Michigan Avenue.
That's a really interesting point, too, how that one strip is so different than other retail areas in town. And I think it's so interesting just to focus on this one area of commercial real estate, I think, because so often it's such a broad topic. But really, when we start looking at it in terms of owning a building and having tenants in it, it's a very different conversation with retail than it is for like an office building or some other use of a space.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, there's been a lot of coverage over the last 3, 4, 5 years about the retail apocalypse. And, you know, there are a lot of doomsayers who think that the brick and mortar retail is doomed. But, you know, you really have to look at the market more closely and kind of dive a little bit more deeply and figure out, you know, which properties are going to do well, which ones won't. If you own a suburban strip mall that doesn't have, you know, strong demographics, there's just not a lot of density, not a lot of traffic, you're probably going to struggle. And so there's this kind of Darwinian struggle that's going on, and the strong properties will do just fine, but the weaker properties are probably going to go away. I mean, right now, I think most people would agree that we have too much retail space in the country. And so there's going to be a winnowing out for many years. And, you know, it's already started, especially in the department store space. We've seen some real struggles. Carson's went out of business last year. So in Chicago, that was a really big deal because we have all these huge empty department stores and landlords have to figure out what to do with that space. So it's going to require some real creativity, some patience, and some money as well to kind of re-tenant these spaces and reinvigorate these retail properties.
Such interesting stuff. Well, that's why we keep turning to you for the latest and for analysis on this topic. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Great to be with you, Amy. Thanks.
Continuing today's top headlines, Chicago private equity firm Granite Creek Capital Partners, an early investor in fast-growing Chicago-based SMS Assist, said it closed this week on its second investment fund after raising $200 million. The company's co-founder told Cranes that the firm has already made two investments with the new fund. Overall, the firm now has $400 million in assets under management. The company, founded in 2005, invests in manufacturing, agribusiness, healthcare, and business service companies in the lower middle market. Typically, the firm makes equity investments of between $10 million and $20 million, but also sometimes extends credit to companies. Granite Creek's co-founder said the company invested just $5 million in SMS Assist back in 2010. Now, SMS is a billion-dollar-plus Chicago company that connects commercial and residential property owners with maintenance and service vendors. The investors that saved the Citadel Center from a debt bomb 3 years ago are trying to cash out on the Loop office tower, looking for a big profit on the gamble they took to give it a shot of life. A venture of New York-based investment firm Angelo Gordon and Houston-based developer Heinz Interests has been shopping the 1.5 million square foot office tower on South Dearborn, according to industry newsletter Real Estate Alert. The 37-story building could fetch between $700 and $750 million, and the publication reported that it'll be marketed by the Chicago Office of Investment Sales Brokerage, HFF. A sale anywhere near that price would generate a pretty lucrative payoff for Angelo Gordon and Heinz. Their joint venture took a controlling interest in the building in 2016 with a $50 million equity investment when its owners were starting down an imminent default on the $472 million loan they took out on the building a decade earlier. More on this story and others at chicagobusiness.com. Coming up, an Urban Institute report says that there is a major disparity in economic investment in Chicago neighborhoods. More on that story after this word from our sponsor. Wintrust Commercial Banking offers a full suite of financial resources designed to meet the needs of middle market businesses and larger companies. With comprehensive and personalized financial solutions, coupled with bankers who get to know your industry's demands, Wintrust Commercial Banking is committed to providing the tools to help your business reach its strategic growth initiatives. You've got a vision for your business, and Wintrust Commercial Banking is here to help you see it through. Find out more at Wintrust.com. Member FDIC Equal Housing Lender. According to a report from Urban Institute, affluent white neighborhoods in Chicago draw nine times as much investment capital as poorer black areas, especially for housing. According to the Urban Institute, the sharp difference in which areas get money to maintain their housing stock and invest in small businesses likely is a significant reason why the city's black population continues to hemorrhage even as the white population is increasing. The study, based on mostly federal data from 2011 through 2017, comes with a few caveats. For one, investments from public agencies disproportionately go far more to high-poverty black neighborhoods than elsewhere, 10 times more so per household. And with private capital, the disproportionate capital flow is particularly focused among single-family homes rather than other types of real estate. Still, investment by the private sector is much larger than from government. The study concludes that after all investments are taken into account, majority white neighborhoods still receive 2.9 times as much investment as majority black neighborhoods, and low poverty neighborhoods receive 2.6 times the investments of high poverty neighborhoods. So to put that into dollars, private sources invested an average of just over $22,000 per household annually in median majority white neighborhoods, compared with just under $5,000 annually in black neighborhoods and about $8,500 in majority Latino areas. Read more about this story and see data from the report in chart form at chicagobusiness.com. I'm Amy Guth, and until next time, that's all for Crane's Daily Gist. Thank you so much to producer Haima Black. Find analysis, breaking business news, data, and lots more at chicagobusiness.com. And find me on Twitter, and let's continue the conversation with hashtag Crane's Daily Gist. We'll see you next time.